Today we are thinking about mission in uncertain times, and tonight we are looking at Acts chapter 20, looking at Paul's challenge to us about wholehearted commitment when it comes to mission. I remember sitting as a student in a Christian Union meeting. The speaker was speaking from the book of Acts, and it really challenged me. I can't remember what he said, but I knew deep within my heart that God was calling me to respond to serving him in mission. It was confirming something that I'd heard many times over the years, but finally, towards the end of my university life, it was becoming clearer and clearer. And today, as we look at Acts chapter 20, verse 20 to verse 23, the first thing we see is Paul's confidence in his God. This is what Luke records. "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me." One of Paul's ambitions, seeking to serve God as a missionary to the Gentiles, was to reach Rome, the seat of the Roman Empire. He reckoned that from Rome he could reach out to the whole Roman Empire. However, he did not reach Rome until towards the end of his life. As if aware of the battles ahead, Paul bade farewell to the Ephesian elders in Miletus in this chapter and prophesied that they would not see him again. He seemed keenly aware of the countless enemies he had who considered him a traitor. As a Pharisee, they believed he had betrayed Judaism, and as a Jewish Christian, that he had betrayed the Jewish belief of their privilege and the law as a means to salvation and moral purity. The last few years of Paul's life are full of emotions. Events unfolded very fast. What is outstanding is Paul's commitment to follow what he sensed was the leading of the Holy Spirit, even when it meant suffering and eventual death. No amount of pleading or prophecies was going to change his mind. Also crucial is the fact that he is still busy preaching the gospel, even when in prison. There is no element of regret or self-pity, but that of a solid assurance that he was within God's plan for his life. Furthermore, during this period, especially while in prison, is when he wrote some of the prison letters. In other words, ministry continued as normal. The book of Acts ends with Paul still under house arrest, preaching the kingdom and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ quite openly and unhindered in Acts 28. The abrupt ending of the book and a lack of reference to Paul's death in Acts, despite having been written well after Paul's death, is remarkable. Magridge suggests that perhaps it ends that way because of the culmination of Paul's ministry was not his death, but the fact that he was free to preach the gospel in Rome at last. It reminds us that Paul came to discover Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and he had absolute confidence that this God will guide him and lead him through all his life. A remarkable story is told of Lilias Trotter. She was a single British woman who sacrificed a career in art in order to serve God in Algeria for 40 years. One time, she wrote about the difficulty of maintaining focus while living in a world that provides us with so many choices. She gave this prescription for keeping one's life moving in the right direction. She said, "Turn your soul's vision to Jesus and look at him. And a strange dimness will come over all that is apart from him." These words were turned by Helen Lemel into the song some of us know, whose chorus is, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." We are told that this song must have come from a time when she was painting. And as she was painting pictures of dandelions through the day, she watched as she painted that they would follow the sun as it went across the sky. And in her mind, it brought to her mind that that's what a life of a missionary is, focusing on Jesus, having this confidence that it's Jesus who has started by bringing us to himself, and we need to rely on him daily. In a time of a crisis like this, that can be an assurance to us that God, an absolute confidence in God, will keep us going. The second thing we find in Acts chapter 20 is Paul's consideration of his life. Verse 24 says, "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me." As Paul thought about his life, I imagine many scenes flash past in his memory. Joyous scenes of many people turning to Jesus. Humorous scenes like when he caused confusion in the Sanhedrin between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Painful ones like the stoning at Lystra, where he was left for dead in Acts chapter 14. Difficult scenes like during the Jerusalem Council, when he had to defend the fact that even Gentiles were accepted by God. The difficulties recede into the background as he contemplates meeting the Lord Jesus once again. Not to be told, "Why are you persecuting me?" but "Well done, good and faithful servant." Like a marathon runner crossing the tape, he is filled with indescribable joy. It was all worth it. He had won the fight, finished the race, and kept the faith. So when he says, "I consider my life worth nothing to me," it's a good place for those of us who are thinking about God's heart for mission. There's a way when it comes to mission, our priorities and ambitions, our aspirations need to recede to the background, and God needs to take preeminence, control of our future. What helped Paul handle success and fame? How did he manage to remain level-headed? In understanding his limitations as he thought about his life, I believe that the first thing is that he lived a Christ-centered life. Whatever he did or achieved was because of the power of Christ, Jesus at work in him and through him. He writes elsewhere, "And it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He saw himself as a servant of Christ. Today, that's a challenge that God is giving us. We have successful professionals here. We have successful students who are making inroads in the academic life, and many others. How much of ourselves do we leave to Jesus to use us when it comes to his mission right where we are? The second thing in terms of understanding his limitations, he was aware of his imperfections. The fight and race is not won by past victories, but by faithful perseverance to the end. Those who have made an impact in God's mission take a step a day at a time. It's like an athlete. He deliberately sought to forget the past and strive on towards the tape. "Not that I have already obtained all this or that I have been made perfect," he says, "but I press on to take hold that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." Friends here today, we need to understand our limitations. God calls us to be involved not because we are perfect. In fact, God uses very ordinary people. I have a friend who comes from one of the Asian countries. God has called him to be an evangelist, and he does an amazing job of even going back to his country often and preaching in this country that's so hostile to the Christian faith. But you know, he stammers badly. When you try to have a conversation with him, sometimes he struggles to get the words out. But yet his heart is on fire for Christ. And he tells me that when he goes out to the marketplaces of his country that is filled with a lot of extremists, There are times that he has been able to stand publicly and challenge them about Christ. Once somebody pulled out a gun and tried to shoot at him, but the gun failed to fire. That's someone who knows his limitations, but his confidence is in God. So none of us is too imperfect for God as long as we surrender. And like Paul, we press on towards the prize for which God called us heavenwards. That's in Philippians chapter 3 where Paul writes this. To this end, he counted everything else as worthless compared to the surpassing knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ, his power, and being willing to share in his suffering. In my short journey of cross-cultural mission involvement, going amongst people who are not yet reached, and there are many in the world where they don't have churches, they don't have a sustainable movement to introduce others to Christ, I found that sometimes our Christian journey leads us into suffering. And this is something that we have to accept because God has promised to be with us. And that's the third thing about our human limitations. Paul recognized that God gave him absolute protection. God, in his unfathomable wisdom, gave Paul a means of keeping him humble. He writes that to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Friends, God's power is made perfect in our weaknesses. Even when sometimes we have friends we have been reaching out to, maybe family members we have been trying to share the gospel with, it has taken a long time. I want to encourage you, hang on, keep doing it faithfully. Rely on God for strength and encouragement. Paul says he delighted in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, because he had recognized he counted his life worth nothing to him. This is the invitation that God gives to us, because in the process, God will pour out many blessings upon our weakness, as we see the words that were recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul made these writings and thoughts known. Facing difficulties in life is not always a bad thing. God has promised us absolute protection. Maybe in this time of anxiety, over the last few months, several people have been anxious about what's going to happen. But as believers in Jesus Christ, let's turn our confidence to God. Let's be people who can provide answers and encouragement from the scriptures, introducing people to a God who has come down out of heaven to love us through Jesus Christ. One of the present day challenges is that we are living in a time when there are no absolutes. People don't believe in absolute truth. They don't believe in long-term commitments. And as a result, we find that even for Christians, sometimes we struggle to stay on the course of being witnesses and missionaries for Jesus Christ. So if you know a missionary out there, pray for them, encourage them, send letters to them, because we need that encouragement so that we can stay on and keep on in Christ despite our difficulties. Jesus himself promised that he will never leave us, neither will he forsake us. The third thing we see from Paul's life in Acts chapter 20 is Paul's commitment to complete the task. This is what he writes in verse 24, the second section. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. The task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. As I've said already, that we live in a time where long-term consistency is becoming rarer. We struggle with absolutes, things that are definite, things that are final. And it's within this context that God has called us to be consistent and follow Christ, even in times of uncertainty. From Paul, we learn that we do not need to follow Christ, or we should follow Christ even when he leads us in paths of pain and suffering and when things are difficult. From early church history, we understand that Paul died as a martyr in AD 64 under Emperor Nero. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, where we see some of Paul's last recorded words, Paul casts a glance at his past life and then focused his gaze on the eternal future beyond the valley of death. It had been approximately 30 years of active ministry for Paul since he had that awesome encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. I want to draw some practical lessons just as a way to encourage us on a World Mission Sunday. Today, earlier, we were thinking about how mission flows out of God's heart, and it's an invitation to join him in the work he's doing in the world to restore a lost humanity back to himself. For us to be effective witnesses for Christ and to take part in his mission, we need to have confidence in God, which comes out of the level of intimacy we enjoy with him. This can only be cultivated through a life of regular communion with him in word and in prayer. We call this abiding in Christ. Jesus invited his followers to abide in him. Paul, obviously, over the years had learned to abide in Christ. And so he had this absolute confidence in God. It's not about the length of our prayers, but it's about how much prayer changes and transforms our life and character. We need a new revelation of God, of who he is, through his holy word as we read and study it. For us to be successfully and wholeheartedly service God, we must be moved and consumed by the things that move the heart of God. We must die to self, and God knows that all our basic needs will be taken care of by him as we trust him. Today, as we think about the world's population, statistics suggest that perhaps just over 50%, 54% of the world's population live in cities. And it is estimated by that 2050, 80% of the world will live in cities. As members of God's family who live in a large city, the city of London, we need to be intentional about planting churches, introducing people to Jesus from every kind of multi-ethnic, every kind of ethnic background, because it reflects our cities. God's heart is for the city. Urban outreach will become a key factor for missionary activity going forward. So even as we think about missions in the days ahead, cities are the center of God's heart and plan. Remember that cities tend to be centers of film, literature, art, culture, business, and politics. And of course, for many of our students, it's a place where students have their lives. And the challenge to us is that how do we introduce Christ amongst our fellow students and in our workplaces? These are great opportunities of ministry where we can be the aroma of Christ, the breath of Christ, holding out the word of life, being creative and seizing opportunities or taking advantage of opportunities that come across our way. I have discovered that cities are also a place where the rich and the poor live side by side. And now increasingly, it's also a place for asylum seekers, refugees and migrants as they flee places of war and conflict and look for a better life. The challenge is, how will you respond? What is it that God is calling you to do as an influence right here in London? So that's the challenge, the first challenge I leave with you today. The second, as you consider your life, be reliant on God's grace. We may be limited in strength. We may be limited in knowledge. Perhaps sometimes we feel that we just cannot be courageous enough for Christ. But let me encourage you. God will make use of you as you are. I remember as a younger person, I was fearful. I was too scared to stand before two people. And yet God called me into ministry of proclaiming his word. I don't do it because I can with my own strength. I'm totally reliant on God. And it seems to me those are the kind of people all around that God is using. I hope that Paul can bring encouragement to us today, as we saw earlier, that despite his weaknesses and struggles, his ambition was to pursue God's heart and be faithful as he relied on God's grace. God's grace is wonderfully available to us even today. It was Andre Crouch who composed that song, "To God Be the Glory. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to you," as he sang it back to God. And that's what our lives are. We owe it all to God. And the third and the final thing I'll leave with you is a challenge to finish well. There is a temptation that after we have served God for all these years, maybe the life and the business of life, we feel that we just want to, you know, just relax a little bit more. There's a temptation to give up or think that it is not worthy to follow and serve God. A friend of mine was sharing with me just this past week how they are spending time helping two believers who have been very active in ministry, but just out of discouragement, they have given up. They do not want to serve anymore. And maybe for some of us, that's the stage we are in. We are almost giving up. I want to encourage you. God wants to use you as you are. Let's aim to finish well, trusting in God, holding out the word of life, finding opportunities to be active, join others within the church to participate in God's mission. As we finish, let me just say that the Christian life is not a sprint. It's probably like a middle distance race or a marathon where we need to put in a bit of effort by God's help and stand firm, run the race that is marked out for us. For Paul, his life was one of controversy, persecution, and often being misunderstood. It was also a life of success and fame. And in it all, he kept focused to the calling he had received from Jesus, because he understood who God was, he knew his limitations, but also he relied upon God's grace to carry him through. And in a time of uncertainty like now, Paul's life speaks to us. As it neared the end of his life, in this chapter we read today, we find that he's still going strong, preaching the gospel. And later on, even as Acts comes to an end, towards chapter 28, he's still preaching, unhindered in Rome. At that point, he was in prison. The last rays of Paul's light is shining. We see him poised to enter the great presence of the King of Kings, having fought the good fight, finished the race, and kept the faith. He therefore awaits the crown of righteousness, which he'll receive alongside all those who have been faithful to the end. God is looking for us and counting upon us at a time of crisis, that we may step up and be willing to run the race and to finish well. I've always been challenged by the life of Billy Graham. Billy Graham started well and he finished well. I was reading in the book by Stephen Ferrer about finishing strong. And he tells the story of how when Billy Graham started preaching and drawing large crowds, there were two others with him who were drawing similar crowds as they preached the gospel of Christ. But within 10 years, it was only Billy Graham who was still standing. Others had given up due to discouragement of life and also bad choices. And so tonight, as we think about mission, may God rekindle in us a passion for God by drawing close to him and communing with him and hearing his heart, and deep from the depth of our heart saying, "Here I am, Lord. I want to go and I want to serve." Whether it is through my profession, through a student life, or also through a professional service in Christian ministry. The challenge is for us, and we can respond by faith in Christ.